definitely bet on that.
All right, so welcome to our fall winter installment of Green Space. I'm always so pleased when people can make it when it's just god awful cold outside. Although this is not by any means the coldest reading we've had here. I don't think we'll ever beat 7 degrees outside. We are a quasi-seasonal event series that takes place outdoor, rain and shine and snow in Buffalo's public space, run by myself and Jake Reber. We're interested in readings in places that are public, unfussy, and everyday. And we're interested in what a reading can be without walls, and we're interested in heat, and we are so glad that you all are here. We do have a virtual dimension, as many of you know, so if you were here in the summer, Joel Craig and Megan Kyle's reading is available at greenspace.green.space, and our interview with Isaac Pickle will be available there soon as well. You'll also find extended interviews with other writers there as well. Dana Venerable, who read last winter in that incredibly cold reading, her piece Water Signatures, which she read for that event, is now out from In the Grasses, which is, I think, an imprint of What Happens. So I highly suggest checking this out. It's a really incredible read. So today we're so excited and honored to have Isaac Pickle here and Ava Hoffman. Jake is going to introduce Ava, so welcome.
Cool. I wrote a little something, then we'll do like the official bio as well.
Oh, gosh. Cool.
Ava Hoffman writes in forking pathways and splice lines, retracing steps and slipping between words and phrases, zooming in and out across simultaneous grids of language. Her pages include small traces and sporadic markings, lines and arrows, rigid edges that blur in low-res pixelation. The legible and illegible are tangled in a way that makes the legible difficult to parse, and the illegible come to the surface to be encountered, interpreted, touched. It produces a reading as viewing, as feeling, as seeing, as divining. Hoffman's work, language begins to break down and reemerge through erasure and strike-throughs. Individual words and letters become images and reimagine. These processes replicate opening the text, wading into the gaps between ourselves and bodies and constructed worlds, glitching the structure of language. In a corrupted reading of Cyberfemme Collective, Laboria Cubonics, it's as if Ava Hoffman saying, if language is unjust, change language. The pages and poems emerge between the digital and analog, extracting the glimmer of materiality in each. Pages ripped and reprocessed are hands-on digital poetics. Read between the lines, read the negative space, and read the ruptures, read the material text. This is where Ava's poetics reside. Ava Hoffman is a trans woman, living in Buffalo, New York, where she's a PhD student at the University of Buffalo. She has two full-length books of poems, with Astrophil Press, and Love Poems / Smallness Studies with Inside the Castle. She also edits Sporazine, a magazine of experimental writing written by trans people. Please welcome Ava Hoffman.
Hello, everyone. Maybe in contrast to the cold weather, I'm going to be reading a few. First, we're going to be reading a few poems from my chapbook, My Summer of Total for Failure, which was about a rough summer I had, among other things. And then I'll be reading a little bit from my first book, ". They're both interesting. So, both of these works are very visual, so you're going to be missing some of the visual component, and specifically with sort of the My Summer of Total for Failure, it's sort of, there's these poems, and then there's also sort of comic panels that are sort of in front of them. So they're sort of, imagine that there's sort of two contradictory sort of frameworks that are operating in the poem, this sort of comic panel and this poem line. All right. Thank task failed. We'll never finish any takers to fire. To have to is the art of. And on the shelf is a plastic nondescript and the scattering of petals like crumbs. I am any taker, and failure is my To think about light is a special case of obvious, but what is this place? Light and fire and light and the reflection of light on plant skin. As a worried about plant blood, insect blood, I can tell you, girl guts. Any my failure is like an underpainting light. Error undefined exception. Haven't made an assassination attempt, yet I have found womanhood to be very covered in attempt. TV with the picture, no picture on. I bite your thigh, not your thigh. To crush a skull like a squishable object, sponge, to have a crush, crushed in covered. The suds of attempt, maybe. Not for a picture of your squishable. Oh Christ, I'm vain. To sponge an assassin clean is, the TV is a picture of language. Phew. The little scum braid of a mop's hair, oh geez. Again with the body interrupts, a case of pinned bugs is like my splitting headache. I am splitting up with my body. Bugs interrupt the pinned up bits of time I have left. Mothballs. You were a girl, question mark. I hope I never find success. To live my life inside a cupboard. Finally, I'm... When are you reading this? Can you even imagine a... like me? An image living inside a cup? Or a question, an image pinned up in a case. The case splits open. A moth rises from the dead. Am alive, but struck through. Everything is again. I have tried not to write about tranniness. But I am an image, the escape room game of images. Is that an explosion or just, have you entered this about with me? I have tried not to imagine a room, but hear it. Is this the explosion preserved? Yes and or no? I want to tell you, I want to hug you. Escape this language. A trap door. In my closet, on the creaky wooden floor. I open up and you fall in. Lay down your weapons. Bed them. Dream in third person. I was very clockable. The clock on the stove. You are like the next stanza, in the middle of a thought. I wish I could change anything about this planet. I wish I could change my own emotions. Wish, and do nothing. Throw an image in for the complacent. The ceiling of the bathroom when you shower. My life story is, I was raised by glossolalia. My grandfather was a dentist, but I have terrible teeth. See, we can undo the past's mistakes. Now I will move to the book.
You know, I'll read these horrible non-linear poems. It'll be a fun little nightmare for everyone.
These are like written in a grid. I'm just gonna read them across, so sorry that I'm not reading it more than one way, just for everyone's sake. You for the full experience, you have to buy the book. Full interactive. So this is from a poem. This is sort of a longish poem. My fingers are getting cold, and it's harder to turn the pages. This is from a poem called The Charm Squares, and so it's just a bunch of numbered sequences. So I'll read some of these. 1. To be written on the inside of a shoe. I'm a boot, power tells heel. I'm footing the bell curve of key building structures, butt trusses, soft keys, stroke slashes into price point, less cost shoe on my skull. The what in power met trick methods invented mega watts. Standard eyes pilfered each sight. Empire's state building defined dime's ends. Class traitors police pleasure. Cavity searching for the long law's lost wisdom teeth. Fuzzy handcuffs ripping the back door seat's pleather. Meant measures, natch resource extraction from hard and wet wares. We whiled away time telling. Self-domesticated, aping lexicon vexed, strip searches, royal ovens burning words into truth. Each degree decreed its medium of authority, fortunes, story told. Paging my book burner phone, God swears his self. Flesh made word things geared up, spell checkers of ensuring the bad magic of taste. Tongues licking the lead. Cast iron panopticon, strip mall mine. Crypt of current sea changes for a 5,000 years invention. Clay tablet, computer's labor to grain store age. Writing to administrate the fail state of the art medium. Clay signs pointing to no, no. Female stain, lesser steel joint, parts with inner walking calm positions. Pre-cum pack aged, here I am girl enough to guzzle what comes. I'm a lone gun, woman prepping the bread, engender beast, milling about the wasteland, mixing genre's flour into my spring grains, trampled weakness, the rubber soles corpse upon my neck. Skip a few, and then jump to the last one. Yeah. I kiss her index finger in death's throw pillows, doom surround sounds. She smiles. Worthiness is a shit question. I must refuse. All right, and then I'll read one more, and then how am I on time? How long have I been reading?
Okay. Yeah, you can read a bunch.
Okay. Okay. Hands. All right. Okay. This is a long one, so this is a good way to end it. So one aspect that's not in this poem, that not in the previous poem, that's in this poem, is that there's sort of these bracketed ellipses. So when I pause, it's like there's sort of a gap in the text that you might supply with something or not. Have broken now with the gentleness of a girl more real. These blankets, this book's killing me. I, are you crying? I, this is how I you cradling a burst shell, the snail's guts, these of a skid mark, her body with my untrained voice, I'm shambles unarmed, volition nor violation of boyhood, shatterings at on fingertips touch, waste, forgot how to kiss, surely I'll bite you, I tear at your waist, I know, love to watch, monsterized freaks to throw pennies at, feet worn raw to feed my parasites, sing more brokenly and scamming you into not killing me, the creep. The body stacked up, corpse singing. The for your benefit. Broken isn't always, always, but this hatefully, lovingly, a striptease song for your benefit. My prophet is begone for the treatment of the deep in your skull, the history you can't reach, the suffering of searching enlists the reality you cannot touch, the lives of the dead, the body is ripped out. Why are you a tranny? No reason. Why are you a tranny? No reason. Why am I a tranny? No reason. Why are women trannies? No reason. Why are men trannies? No reason. Why are cis women trannies? No reason. Why are cis men? Why are cis men trannies? No reason. Why trannies? No reason. Why are we trannies? No reason. Why are you a tranny? Why are you? No reason. Why is the gender therapist a tranny? No reason. Why is the hormones trannies? No reason. Wise, no reason, tranny, no real reason, no real trannies, no reason, no real, why no trannies, no real sissies, no real traps, no real femboys, no real transsexuals, no real trans people, no real reason, no real cis people, no real men, no real women, no real gods, no real masters, no real songs, no real poetry, no manuscript, no original, no me. Here is my one true charm, my only spell. You should know, I do not want to end it with a funeral parade. Of pansies I have only paraphrase. The fumes on my tongues, no. Dosing men with, poisoning men with, estrogen synthesis. Thine will on earth as sex change, as pollen sweet, as child's teeth, as polluted as I am, as this, as I stroke your hair as the snow melts, as spines of grass poke out, as it melts the, as spring, as the water runs away, as men and as women, I disappear. Thank you, everyone.
Keep after this and warm up.
There is food and tea if you need any. I wouldn't be offended if you just get behind me and heat yourself up next to the radiator while I introduce Isaac.
All right, so let me introduce Isaac. Here's some official website bio stuff. Raised in Michigan near the back of his parents' used bookstore, Isaac Pickle is a biracial poet and PhD candidate at Wayne State University in Detroit, where he teaches and studies the borderlands of blackness and black literature. Black Warrior Review, Denver Quarterly, Fence, and Ninth Letter. You can find his newest stuff at Perhaps in Protean Magazine or ProLit. He's publishing all over the place. Black Lawrence Press published his chapbook, Everything Saved Will Be Last in 2021. And Isaac has copies here along with Ava's book, so please do check them out. And Black Ocean will publish his forthcoming full-length review, It's Not Over, Once You Figure It Out, in spring of 2023. So we're really excited for that. Isaac's dissertation project, Passing Over, Passing Through, Transgressive Ambiguity Beyond the Color Line, reimagines the literary and cultural history of passing through its growth as a contextually bound cultural phenomena applied not only to race, but other socially constructed and rigid categories which preoccupy the American landscape, including gender, sexuality, and citizenship. By developing passing as a critical lens for considering various representations of ambiguous identity, his dissertation helps to promote analysis of other crises grounded in and sensitive to the ongoing story of racial passing. As I read Pickle's poems, I find them endlessly compelling, orchestrating an intensity of thought and historical and theoretical reference. They may consider, say, settler colonial history in compelling terms, then the social and ideological underpinnings of the production of that history across the break of a line. This might sound thinky. It is, and also, in many of Pickle's poems, is a speaker speaking through their vulnerability. As in, say, the poem, quote, "We are more than mere endurance," that takes us through the lines, quote, "telling whole stories in a flurry of blurred reminiscence, with ourselves as the center cowering from the helpless terror of being just one person." I find in many of Pickle's poems a sort of incomparable precision, or maybe we should just call it care or carefulness, that seems intent on the incommensurability and inexchangeability of things. Precisions that is there to defend the subject from all the foreclosures and co-optations that representation in the socio-political moment might inflict. So that poem I just quoted ends like this, "But the math for empathy isn't supposed to add up," I say to my body softly. That said, part of the work is how it so easily exceeds these descriptive sketches. What I'm saying is read Pickle's work and listen closely, and that I'm so glad that he is here with us to share that work. So give Isaac our warmth.
Okay. Come closer. I don't shout. It's okay. I really hate reading out of books, so I just have loose leaf paper. So it goes. I feel something reading out of a book. I don't know. Okay, so I should have a few poems. Thank you so much for braving the cold. Thank you, Ava, so much for reading. I haven't heard it in way too long, and I'm glad to again.
I'm excited to hear you.
Thank you. All right, I'll go ahead. An hour after Auschwitz, I tasted the perfect pierogi. It was nothing like you'd expect, golden. Edges where real hands with real fingertips found each other once. And then again, and again, and again, until that pinch defined the very texture of the place. Pierogi Sviata, the world of pierogi. A big promise in a world of big promises. You might hear how before seeing anything you could smell the ovens, but that's no longer true. It's hard to even find them in the tangle of old rail lines and one-way streets at the heart of Katowice. Just a plain sign on a spare brick building, just like the other spare brick buildings. But one step inside and it hits you. The very air of hard work making you free samples. And you forget your cynicism just long enough to appreciate what it means to labor over your own homegrown mushrooms and the assurance of fresh, hand-picked fruits and the dirt scraped off of every potato until all that's left is the color of bone. All that's left of the original Birkenau is its famous arched gate and the tracks that were laid under it. A few barracks the fires never reached, scattered bricks, gallows made of boxcars, petty metal trinkets which survived all attempts to hide any evidence of the very real fingertips which held onto those last semblances of possession before being burned alive and forever confined to the dirt. I left full and devastated by the achievement of superlative promises, how even incomplete they can unmake our senses. Every person I imagine becomes fabric. Not fabric of the community or fabric of time. The little movie in my head has lost touch with stuff like connotative imagery. I mean they are literally transformed into textile, muslin or tulle or sturdy polyester or the kind of nylon that blend that bends and then also breaks eventually. It's been weeks of this, flattening goosebump and vessel into pulse and thread. And I found it's hard to commiserate with carpet squares. So what happens when you start wearing your acquaintances? I mean that we already are, and their silence carries a stunning honesty stretched across our dilated skin. I have been careful to avoid visualizing strangers, so at least they can stay real. There's no good reason to choose curiosity and catharsis. Be careful. For the first time, every story from every corner is accessible. It takes just a few clicks to fill our closet with a wail of joy borrowed from some other string's sorrow song, borrowed from some other string's wail of joy, borrowed from an endless economy of utilitarian bargains. Remember, Tuvalu is disappearing into the sea under progress, and the South China Sea is retreating under progress. And think about the cost of linen and the cost of hand-spun silk, how it feels for itself whether or not you can afford it, your artisanal torment. This one really is a question. How do you smile for anything that has a price? Civil engineering or the good suburb? A tall wall of trees separates this here from that one, to deny a them everything but our offering of yawning saccharine holes, where only glimpses can live, where dancers play at shadow, and how they dance, shaking out past silhouettes, the feats of private stewardship, the failures of public transportation. Red lines have turned green, but still soar above affordable housing, sating the animal need to turn memory into a present. Look what they always do to their there. We say of the figures we drew ourselves to keep, they're here over there. Every shape is a choice to make no other shape. Like a line is maintained to have two sides. whittling away at change until there is nothing left to take. And all the houses still look the same. I've always been drawn to the aging process of our immobile objects and the stories behind them, like a still locomotive corroding where we left it, like fences growing into trees. I like to think our things are travelers that precede and then follow us, getting lost and found and in between finding deep, dark places no one cares or dares to look. A truth uncovered by its permanence. I wonder, if we become things, what do we find? Maybe our future will be settled in this rust belt, as if that could be a place and not a description, as if immobile objects age or die or have stories we did not write ourselves. But this is just a poem, where you are allowed to write literally whatever you want to, like how this is not settling anything at all, like how our dreams can do better than doubt, which is not growth, like how self-awareness is no finish line. No, we cannot weep together. In the absence of a parrot, who is left to say to death, to fear, to our society of the spectacle where the global south is mythic until you accept there is no magic to airplanes, where the slums below are only a crooked premise to rename what is closest to you as far away, to an evil that's just banal replacement for sensation, as need is already a full-time job. To absorption of the globe's breaks, only ever named a frame when language acts become grandstanding, when blitz can be read as dance and tactic and song, another misheard fare. To every extant text inflicted on the sprawling hillsides we have dotted with low-hanging mimesis, clouding the master narrative that is our only narrative. We're arriving at late-stage everything. This system is only one of our victims. Demanding justice for the plastic bags, the garbage flotilla in the Pacific Ocean, the lives that are made into matter, the fires that still thirst for the huddled masses getting ever more massive, the standards of political discourse, the distance between West and South, the economy of the shared Sonoran desert, the women we can't trace with other women, like maquiadoras who remain inexpendably widgeted. There are other forms of possession for some of us. This is no time to blink from the page. Jesus, I really did choose thinky poems, didn't I? I'm so sorry. I have a couple more. You will pay for your osmosis and it will make you smile. So many true things sound fantastic when transposed to the West, to our present, to the soothing associations we grant the English language, the heroic civility of our frustration, calls to action, patiently waiting on generations to monetize them, to our catchphrases masquerading as vernacular, to our t-shirts, all our fucking t-shirts, stiff black text over white cotton or black behind softer white words, the way labor is spelled the same whether it comes before power or camp, if not to our mutiny, at least to our comfort, where there's time to memorize our refrain, am I making something or am I reiterating an idea of myself? We are chanting just below mutual recognition so that one cannot hear another's effacements never meant for answers but to lay bare better questions. You'll never grow big and strong or tender or mild without learning to appreciate what we can't understand. Like the object cannot explain the walls built around her, even as they wilt against the grease on our fingers toward an irreparable humanity, now too powerful to resist. Now recognizable as the same boots they have always been. And when you meet the hologram and give it a name, you lose faith in everything but the buoy of writing ourselves in human. Poetry should stay out of the self-help business. Embraced by caves, bathed in the kind of firelight you are allowed to write about inside and out of metaphor. Neanderthals invented art but lost the war. Snuffed and fucked out of existence so that you could learn on a podcast as you sift into sleep that orcas speak with more clarity than any obfuscated simile tethers Icarus to the moon. The moon, where your dreams are soft places to land. And poets are so famously good at soft things and forgiving them into existence. And sometimes we want to talk about what happened without feeling just how it hurt. Like procrastinating therapy in public, like a couplet really can be a soft place to land. Weaving what's yours into a web of plain-spoken elegance instead of letting it just happen to you. We break things until the pieces sound like they work. But maybe, just sometimes, it's okay to go get your drugs and some rest and keep the pieces in your pocket or even a little pile on the floor and be patient with yourself when putting them back together again. Okay, do I have two more? I have two more. This one is long as it's about my dad. So I'm going to read it because he's sick. Imperfection and other promises. My dad woke up and asked me whether the dreams are even his anymore or if he's just watching them. The viscous pragmatism of a mind on diagnostics, spun up tight and twirling against the relief of its own stories. The landscape of his body, the soft leather of his skin has changed so much since I was learning faces through my closed eyes, palms grasping at ears, settling on cheekbones. He's porous now, thin and treacly, having absorbed in all those decades I spent remembering him as sturdy. Like all nascent nostalgia is, eyes closed to the way he soaked up time. Unable to see the words, my father was. My dad hasn't stopped dreaming, and I worry over how much time he spends on the mistake of believing in them for so long. But have you ever seen someone invincible? He'd sing this song to me about fathers and sons, and he'd cry every time as if he'd never done it before and was just learning how. Big, opulent tears. The kind you get when you know nothing can hurt you and then something does. He was my hero then, he wouldn't do no wrong. Like his own dad was dying all over again, he would vamp his favorite notes on the piano until he regained his composure. A belief in pain as a passenger you could drive away on the axes of intentional excesses of beauty. That always made me smile. How he was the wisest, or the strongest, or the best of men. But now that he's sick, I've been thinking a lot. I think about my dad, wishing long vowels were a little more literal so words like home could stretch out into the speaker's contentment until they turned real. I know I'm not home enough. Whenever I visit, he tulips into a song. He knows it's easier to come back that way, no matter what. Every time I used to make a mistake, he'd tell me a person isn't a single picture. And now I worry all those years I spent refusing to let him age, I refuse to let him grow, too. Like we were still fighting the same fight I started the night I learned he could be wrong, shuddering from his touch and relentless familiarity. Like a daylily refusing to close with the sun. I hadn't learned the sumptuous clutter of overwrought metaphor, or the way we both keep everything we've ever touched on our tables and our shelves if we can't keep it inside. I still don't like to think about the way the years run away from the people we love, faster than we can freeze them in things. How little time it takes. Now that he's sick, I'll have to start practicing how to tell you the man my father was. The kind who talks about birdsong and flowers even if he doesn't know how to grow them. Who is always softer than the leather of his skin. The kind who wants to live forever and named his only kid Isaac after a sacrifice that wasn't. I had to learn for myself that children are our only real glimpse of mortality before we meet it. Facing how fast the years run, and the things they steal. I know it's a bit too convenient of a frame, but now that he is sick, when I'm the parent, I cry sometimes like I've never done it before and am just learning how. How little time it takes, how everybody breaks. Sometimes I try to sing to him, even though I can't play the piano, and nothing is ever quite the same, and only when he rolls his eyes do I remember how much I used to hate that song and the way he cried, because I didn't understand how everybody breaks, how sometimes we're wrong about what is a mistake. Nature poem. My stepson's favorite teacher's real son killed himself with a note just last week, and I still spend more time watching the family of chipmunks who've made a home out of what's left of my yard than I do thinking about anything that could still be called an America worth living for. I live for intentional excesses of beauty, like the unknowable morning when every tree decides to change its clothes in unison to show off their mastery of temporary death. But my stepson's favorite teacher's real son said he died as the world is ending, forgetting that if it's kept secret, you can be endless, alive and scattered across 1,000,000,000 pieces of everyone else's sensation, like how sometimes even I forget how much I love the smell of the ocean. That's all I got. Thank you.